We continue now with the Penny Catechism, Fundamental Questions and Answers on the Catholic Faith. Chapter 4, Charity, the Commandments of God. What is charity? Charity is a supernatural gift of God by which we love God above all things and our neighbor as ourselves for God's sake. Why must we love God? We must love God because He is infinitely good in Himself and infinitely good to us. How do we show that we love God? We show that we love God by keeping His commandments, for Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John chapter 14, verse 15. How many commandments are there? There are 10 commandments. Say the 10 commandments. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not make yourself any graven thing, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, nor of those things that are in the waters under the earth. You shall not adore them, nor serve them. 2. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 3. Remember that you keep holy the Sabbath day. 4. Honor your father and your mother. 5. You shall not kill. 6. You shall not commit adultery. 7. You shall not steal. 8. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 9. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Who gave the 10 commandments? God gave the 10 commandments to Moses in the Old Law, and Christ confirmed them in the New. What is the first commandment? The first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not make to yourself any graven thing, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, nor of those things that are in the waters under the earth. You shall not adore them, nor serve them. What are we commanded to do by the first commandment? By the first commandment, we are commanded to worship the one, true, and living God by faith, hope, charity, and religion. What are the sins against faith? The sins against faith are all false religions, willful doubt, disbelief, or denial of any article of faith, and also culpable ignorance of the doctrines of the Church. How do we expose ourselves to the danger of losing our faith? We expose ourselves to the danger of losing our faith by neglecting our spiritual duties, reading bad books, going to non-Catholic schools, and taking part in the services or prayers of a false religion. A footnote: parents have the obligation to send their children to schools that are Catholic whenever possible, but only insofar as these schools are really Catholic and teach according to the magisterium of the Church. What are the sins against hope? The sins against hope are despair and presumption. What are the chief sins against religion? The chief sins against religion are the worship of false gods or idols, and the giving to any creature whatsoever the honor which belongs to God alone. Does the first commandment forbid the making of images? The first commandment does not forbid the making of images, but the making of idols. That is, it forbids us to make images to be adored or honored as gods. Does the first commandment forbid dealing with the devil and superstitious practices? The first commandment forbids all dealing with the devil and superstitious practices, such as consulting spiritualists and fortune tellers, and trusting to charms, omens, dreams, and such like fooleries. Are all sins of sacrilege and simony also forbidden by the first commandment? All sins of sacrilege and simony are also forbidden by the first commandment. Is it forbidden to give divine honor or worship to the angels and saints? It is forbidden to give divine honor or worship to the angels and saints, for this belongs to God alone. What kind of honor or worship should we pay to the angels and saints? We should pay to the angels and saints an inferior honor or worship, for this is due them as the servants and special friends of God. What honor should we give to relics, crucifixes, and holy pictures? We should give to relics, crucifixes, and holy pictures a relative honor as they relate to Christ and his saints and are memorials of them. Do we pray to relics or images? We do not pray to relics or images, for they can neither see, nor hear, nor help us. What is the second commandment? The second commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What are we commanded by the second commandment? By the second commandment, we are commanded to speak with reverence of God and all holy persons and things, and to keep our lawful oaths and vows. What does the second commandment forbid? The second commandment forbids all false, rash, unjust, and unnecessary oaths, as also blaspheming, cursing, and profane words. Is it ever lawful to swear or to take an oath? It is lawful to swear or to take an oath only when God's honor or our own or our neighbor's good requires it. What is the third commandment? The third commandment is, remember that you keep holy the Sabbath. What are we commanded by the third commandment? By the third commandment, we are commanded to keep the Sunday holy. How are we to keep the Sunday holy? We are to keep the Sunday holy by hearing Mass and resting from servile works. Why are we commanded to rest from servile works? We are commanded to rest from servile works that we may have time and opportunity for prayer, going to the sacraments, hearing instructions, and reading good books. What is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is, honor your father and your mother. What are we commanded by the fourth commandment? By the fourth commandment, we are commanded to love, reverence, and obey our parents in all that is not sin. Are we commanded to obey our parents only? We are commanded to obey not only our parents, but also our bishops and pastors, the civil authorities, and our lawful superiors. Are we bound to assist our parents in their wants? We are bound to assist our parents in their wants, both spiritual and temporal. Are we bound in justice to contribute to the support of our pastors? We are bound in justice to contribute to the support of our pastors, for St. Paul says, the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. What is the duty of parents toward their children? The duty of parents towards their children is to provide for them, to instruct and correct them, and to give them a good Catholic education. What is the duty of masters, mistresses, and other superiors? The duties of masters, mistresses, and other superiors is to take proper care of those under their charge and to enable them to practice their religious duties. What does the fourth commandment forbid? The fourth commandment forbids all contempt, stubbornness, and disobedience to our parents and lawful superiors. Is it sinful to belong to a secret society? It is sinful to belong to any secret society that plots against the church or state, or to any society that by reason of its secrecy is condemned by the church. For St. Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. He that resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist purchase to themselves damnation." Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. What is the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is, "You shall not kill." What does the fifth commandment forbid? The fifth commandment forbids all willful murder, fighting, quarreling, and injurious words, and also scandal and bad example. Does the fifth commandment forbid anger? The fifth commandment forbids anger, and still more, hatred and revenge. Why are scandal and bad example forbidden by the fifth commandment? Scandal and bad example are forbidden by the fifth commandment because they lead to the injury and spiritual death of our neighbor's soul. What is the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment is, "You shall not commit adultery." What does the sixth commandment forbid? The sixth commandment forbids all sins of impurity with another's wife or husband. Does the sixth commandment forbid whatever is contrary to holy purity? The sixth commandment forbids whatever is contrary to holy purity in looks, words, or actions. Are immodest plays and dances forbidden by the sixth commandment? Immodest plays and dances are forbidden by the sixth commandment, and it is sinful to look at them. Does the sixth commandment forbid immodest songs, books, and pictures? The sixth commandment forbids immodest songs, books, and pictures because they are most dangerous to the soul and lead to mortal sin. What is the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment is, "You shall not steal." What does the seventh commandment forbid? The seventh commandment forbids all unjust taking away or keeping what belongs to another. Is all manner of cheating in buying and selling forbidden by the seventh commandment? All manner of cheating in buying and selling is forbidden by the seventh commandment, and also every other way of wronging our neighbor. Are we bound to restore ill-gotten goods? We are bound to restore ill-gotten goods if we are able, or else the sin will not be forgiven. We must also pay our debts. Is it dishonest in employees to waste their employer's time or property? It is dishonest in employees to waste their employer's time or property because it is wasting what is not their own. What is the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment is, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." What does the eighth commandment forbid? The eighth commandment forbids all false testimony, rash judgment, and lies. Are calumny and detraction forbidden by the eighth commandment? Calumny and detraction are forbidden by the eighth commandment, and also tale-bearing and any words which injure our neighbor's character. If you have injured your neighbor by speaking ill of him, what are you bound to do? If I have injured my neighbor by speaking ill of him, I am bound to make him satisfaction by restoring his good name as far as I can. What is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." What does the ninth commandment forbid? The ninth commandment forbids all willful consent to impure thoughts and desires, and all willful pleasure to the irregular motions of the flesh. What sins commonly lead to the breaking of the sixth and ninth commandments? The sins that commonly lead to the breaking of the sixth and ninth commandments are gluttony, drunkenness, and intemperance, and also idleness, bad company, and the neglect of prayer. What is the tenth commandment? The tenth commandment is, "You shall not covet your neighbor's goods." What does the tenth commandment forbid? The 10th commandment forbids all envious and covetous thoughts and unjust desires of our neighbor's goods and profits. Chapter 5, The Commandments of the Church. Are we bound to obey the church? We are bound to obey the church because Christ has said to the pastors of the church, "He that hears you, hears me, and he that despises you, despises me." Luke chapter 10, verse 16. What are the chief commandments of the church? The chief commandments of the church are: 1. To keep the Sundays and holy days of obligation holy by hearing Mass and resting from servile works. 2. To keep the days of fasting and abstinence appointed by the church. 3. To go to confession at least once a year. 4. To receive the Blessed Sacrament at least once a year, and that at Easter or thereabouts. 5. To contribute to the support of our pastors. And 6. To not marry within certain degrees of kindred, nor to solemnize marriage at the forbidden times. What is the first commandment of the church? The first commandment of the church is to keep the Sundays and holy days of obligation holy by hearing Mass and resting from servile works. Which are the holy days of obligation observed in the United States? The holy days of obligation observed in the United States are Solemnity of the Holy Mother of God, January 1st, the Ascension, the Assumption of Our Lady, August 15th, All Saints' Day, November 1st, the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, Christmas Day, December 25th. Is it a mortal sin to neglect to hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation? It is a mortal sin to neglect to hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Are parents, masters, and mistresses bound to provide that those under their charge shall hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation? Parents, masters, and mistresses are bound to provide that those under their charge shall hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. What is the second commandment of the church? The second commandment of the church is to keep the days of fasting and abstinence appointed by the church. What are fasting days? Fasting days are days on which we are allowed to take only one full meal. Which are the fasting days? The fasting days are Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. What are days of abstinence? Days of abstinence are days on which we are forbidden to take flesh meat and soups made from meat. Which are the days of abstinence? The days of abstinence are Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and all the Fridays in Lent. Why does the Church command us to fast and abstain? The Church commands us to fast and abstain that so we may mortify the flesh and satisfy God for our sins. What is the third commandment of the Church? The third commandment of the church is to go to confession at least once a year. How soon are children bound to go to confession? Children are bound to go to confession as soon as they have come to the use of reason and are capable of mortal sin. When are children generally supposed to come to the use of reason? Children are generally supposed to come to the use of reason about the age of 7 years. What is the fourth commandment of the church? The fourth commandment of the church is to receive the Blessed Sacrament at least once a year, and that at Easter or thereabouts. How soon are Christians bound to receive the Blessed Sacrament? Christians are bound to receive the Blessed Sacrament as soon as they are capable of distinguishing the body of Christ from ordinary bread and are judged to be sufficiently instructed. What is the fifth commandment of the church? The fifth commandment of the church is to contribute to the support of our pastors. Is it a duty to contribute to the support of religion? It is a duty to contribute to the support of religion according to our means, so that God may be duly honored and worshiped, and that the kingdom of His church extended. What is the sixth commandment of the church? The sixth commandment of the church is not to marry within certain degrees of kindred, nor to solemnize marriage at the forbidden times. Which are the times in which it is forbidden to marry with solemnity? The times in which it is forbidden to marry with solemnity, without special leave, are from the first Sunday of Advent till after Christmas Day, and from Ash Wednesday till after Easter Sunday. Chapter 6. The Sacraments. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign of inward grace ordained by Jesus Christ, by which grace is given to our souls. Do the sacraments always give grace? The sacraments always give grace to those who receive them worthily. Whence have the sacraments the power of giving grace? The sacraments have the power of giving grace from the merits of Christ's precious blood, which they apply to our souls. Ought we to have a great desire to receive the sacraments? We ought to have a great desire to receive the sacraments, because they are the chief means of our salvation. Is a character given to the soul by any of the sacraments? A character is given to the soul by the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. What is a character? A character is a mark or seal on the soul which cannot be effaced, and therefore the sacrament conferring it may not be repeated. How many sacraments are there? There are seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, penance, sacrament of the sick, holy orders, and matrimony. What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament which cleanses us from original sin, makes us Christians, children of God, and members of the church. Does baptism also forgive actual sins? Baptism also forgives actual sins, with all punishment due to them, when it is received in proper dispositions by those who have been guilty of actual sin. Who is the ordinary minister of baptism? The ordinary minister of baptism is a priest, but anyone may baptize in case of necessity, when a priest cannot be had. How is baptism given? Baptism is given by pouring water on the head of the child, saying at the same time these words: I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What do we promise in baptism? We promise in baptism to renounce the devil and all his works and pomps. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Baptism is necessary for salvation, because Christ has said, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is confirmation? Confirmation is a sacrament by which we receive the Holy Spirit in order to make us strong and perfect Christians and soldiers of Jesus Christ. Who is the ordinary minister of confirmation? The ordinary minister of confirmation is a bishop. However, it may also be administered by a priest. How does the bishop administer the sacrament of confirmation? The bishop administers the sacrament of confirmation by praying that the Holy Spirit may come down upon those who are to be confirmed, and by laying his hand on them and making the sign of the cross with chrism on their foreheads, at the same time pronouncing certain words. What are the words used in confirmation? The words used in confirmation are these: I sign you with the sign of the cross, and I confirm you with the chrism of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist? The sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, together with his soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. How are the bread and wine changed into the body and blood of Christ? The bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ by the power of God, to whom nothing is impossible or difficult. When are the bread and wine changed into the body and blood of Christ? The bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ when the words of consecration ordained by Jesus Christ are pronounced by the priest in Holy Mass. Why has Christ given himself to us in the Holy Eucharist? Christ has given himself to us in the Holy Eucharist to be the life and food of our souls. He that eats me, the same also shall live by me. He that eats this bread shall live forever. John chapter 6, verses 58 and 59. Is Christ received whole and entire under either kind alone? Christ is received whole and entire under either kind alone. In order to receive the Blessed Sacrament worthily, what is required? In order to receive the Blessed Sacrament worthily, it is required that we be in a state of grace and keep the prescribed fast. Water does not break this fast. What is it to be in a state of grace? To be in a state of grace is to be free from mortal sin and pleasing to God. Is it a great sin to receive Holy Communion in mortal sin? It is a great sin to receive Holy Communion in mortal sin, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself. Is the Blessed Eucharist a sacrament only? The Blessed Eucharist is not a sacrament only, it is also a sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is the offering of a victim by a priest to God alone, in testimony of his being the sovereign Lord of all things. What is the sacrifice of the new law? The sacrifice of the new law is the Holy Mass. What is the Holy Mass? The Holy Mass is the sacrifice of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, really present on the altar under the appearances of bread and wine, and offered to God for the living and the dead. Is the Holy Mass one and the same sacrifice with that of the cross? The Holy Mass is one and the same sacrifice with that of the cross, inasmuch as Christ, who offered himself a bleeding victim on the cross to his heavenly Father, continues to offer himself in an unbloody manner on the altar through the ministry of his priests. For what ends is the sacrifice of the Mass offered? The sacrifice of the Mass is offered for four ends. First, to give supreme honor and glory to God. Secondly, to thank him for all his benefits. Thirdly, to satisfy God for our sins and to obtain the grace of repentance. And fourthly, to obtain all other graces and blessings through Jesus Christ. Is the Mass also a memorial of the Passion and Death of our Lord? The Mass is also a memorial of the Passion and Death of our Lord, for Christ at his Last Supper said, "Do this for a commemoration of me."
What is the sacrament of penance? Penance is a sacrament whereby the sins, whether mortal or venial, which we have committed after baptism, are forgiven. Does the sacrament of penance increase the grace of God in the soul? The sacrament of penance increases the grace of God in the soul, besides forgiving sin. We should therefore often go to confession. When did our Lord institute the sacrament of penance?
Our Lord instituted the sacrament of penance when he breathed on his apostles and gave them power to forgive sins, saying, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven." John chapter 20, verse 23.
How does the priest forgive sins?
The priest forgives sins by the power of God when he pronounces the words of absolution.
What are the words of absolution?
The words of absolution are, "I absolve you from your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Are any conditions of forgiveness required on the part of the penitent?
Three conditions for forgiveness are required on the part of the penitent: contrition, confession, and satisfaction.
What is contrition?
Contrition is a hearty sorrow for our sins, because by them we have offended so good a God, together with a firm purpose of amendment.
What is a firm purpose of amendment?
A firm purpose of amendment is a resolution to avoid, by the grace of God, not only sin, but also the dangerous occasions of sin.
How may we obtain a hearty sorrow for our sins?
We may obtain a hearty sorrow for our sins by earnestly praying for it and by making use of such considerations as may lead us to it.
What consideration concerning God will lead us to sorrow for our sins?
This consideration concerning God will lead us to sorrow for our sins, that by our sins we have offended God, who is infinitely good in himself and infinitely good to us.
What consideration concerning our Savior will lead us to sorrow for our sins?
This consideration concerning our Savior will lead us to sorrow for our sins, that our Savior died for our sins, and that those who sin grievously crucify again to themselves the Son of God, making him a mockery. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6.
Is sorrow for our sins, because by them we have lost heaven and deserved hell, sufficient when we go to confession?
Sorrow for our sins, because by them we have lost heaven and deserved hell, is sufficient when we go to confession.
What is perfect contrition?
Perfect contrition is sorrow for sin arising purely from the love of God.
What special value has perfect contrition?
Perfect contrition has this special value, that by it our sins are forgiven immediately, even before we confess them. But nevertheless, if they are mortal, we are strictly bound to confess them afterwards.
What is confession?
Confession is to accuse ourselves of our sins to a priest approved by the bishop.
What if a person willfully conceal a mortal sin in confession?
If a person willfully conceal a mortal sin in confession, he is guilty of a great sacrilege by telling a lie to the Holy Spirit in making a bad confession.
How many things have we to do in order to prepare for confession?
We have four things to do in order to prepare for confession. First, we must heartily pray for grace to make a good confession. Secondly, we must carefully examine our conscience. Thirdly, we must take time and care to make a good act of contrition. And fourthly, we must resolve by the help of God to renounce our sins and to begin a new life for the future.
What is satisfaction?
Satisfaction is doing the penance given us by the priest.
Does the penance given by the priest always make full satisfaction for our sins?
The penance given by the priest does not always make full satisfaction for our sins.
We should therefore add to it other good works and penances, and try to gain indulgences. What is an indulgence? An indulgence is a remission granted by the Church of the temporal punishment which often remains due to sin after its guilt has been forgiven. What is the sacrament of the sick? The sacrament of the sick is the anointing of the sick with holy oil, accompanied with prayer. To whom is the sacrament of the sick given? The sacrament of the sick is given to those who are dangerously ill due to sickness or old age. What are the effects of the sacrament of the sick? The person who is seriously ill needs the special help of God's grace in this time of anxiety, lest he be broken in spirit and subject to temptations and the weakening of faith. The effects of the sacrament of the sick, then, are to comfort and strengthen the soul, to remit sin, and even to restore health when God sees it to be expedient. What authority is there in Scripture for the sacrament of the sick? The authority in Scripture for the sacrament of the sick is the 5th chapter of St. James, where it is said, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him bring in the priest of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick man, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he be in sins, they shall be forgiven him." James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. What is the sacrament of holy orders? Holy orders is the sacrament by which bishops, priests, and other ministers of the church are ordained and receive power and grace to perform their sacred duties. What is the sacrament of matrimony? Matrimony is the sacrament which sanctifies the contract of a Christian marriage and gives a special grace to those who receive it worthily. What special grace does the sacrament of matrimony give to those who receive it worthily? The sacrament of matrimony gives to those who receive it worthily a special grace to enable them to bear the difficulties of their state, to love and to be faithful to one another, and to bring up their children in the fear of God. Is it a sacrilege to contract marriage in mortal sin or in disobedience to the laws of the church? It is a sacrilege to contract marriage in mortal sin or in disobedience to the laws of the church, and instead of a blessing, the guilty parties draw upon themselves the anger of God. A footnote: for the marriage of a Catholic to be valid, there must be present either the bishop or the parish priest, or another priest duly delegated, and two witnesses. What is a mixed marriage? A mixed marriage is a marriage between a Catholic and one who, though baptized, does not profess the Catholic faith. Has the Church always forbidden mixed marriages? The Church has always forbidden mixed marriages and considered them unlawful and pernicious. Does the Church sometimes permit mixed marriages? The Church sometimes permits mixed marriages by granting a dispensation for serious reasons and under special conditions. When reasons are proper, a dispensation may be granted to allow the marriage in the presence of a Catholic priest and non-Catholic ministers. Can any human power dissolve the bond of marriage? No human power can dissolve the bond of marriage, because Christ has said, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Matthew chapter 19, verse 6. Chapter 7. In the Penny Catechism, of Vices and Virtues. Which are the theological virtues?
The theological virtues are faith, hope, and charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Why are they called theological virtues? They are called theological virtues because they relate immediately to God.
What are the chief mysteries of faith which every Christian is bound to know?
The chief mysteries of faith which every Christian is bound to know are the unity and trinity of God, who will render to every man according to his works, and the incarnation, death, and resurrection of our Savior.
Which are the cardinal virtues?
The cardinal virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Wisdom, chapter 8, verse 7.
Why are they called cardinal virtues?
They are called cardinal virtues because they are, as it were, the hinges on which all other moral virtues turn. We will continue with the Penny Catechism on tape number 2. Please join us.